Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 272 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Daryl. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Very happy to be here.
Good. It's nice to have you back on again. So what have you been up to the last few weeks other than being locked in home?
Other than being chained to my desk at home working for the man, I have been reading the first three volumes of The Boys. A little while ago, there was a humble bundle deal which gave you seemingly all the Boys stuff that's ever been made. And wow, another superhero series from the same people who published The Boys, in Dynamite Entertainment.
Right, yeah.
So I jumped on that. So that's £11, very well spent. Mm. And so obviously, Boys written by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson. And obviously, we all know the show based on it. And I can tell you after reading three volumes of it, so that's about 600-700 pages worth of stuff, that what we see on the screen is extremely tame.
Yes.
It's also a very different sort of show.
Yeah.
Reading the comics, it feels a lot more like alternative history because they spend a lot of time talking about the things that led up to what we currently see. Mm. So almost in every sort of volume I've read, there's a little bit of background where they talk about things. For instance, I think it's also been pretty much it is stated in the show as well that this all starts around the end of World War II. But they talk about in the comics how they use comics to sell the idea of superheroes to the populace.
Right.
So that they're less scared of them, and also as pretty much propaganda to sort of blind them to what superheroes really are like, because obviously they're just people like everyone else and they have their own issues. But yeah, there's a lot of really dark, messed up stuff in there. Mm. And a fair amount of questionable use of homophobic terms as well, which obviously didn't quite make it into the show.
Yes, yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. Yeah. So I think there's like 10 normal volumes and then there's some extra ones, which I don't know if they're collected or if they're like separate stories. So I have to report back at another time, tell you the rest of it.
Yeah.
But also, another thing is that in the comics, Huey is Scottish and likable. As opposed to the show.
I don't mind because Huey on the show. Yeah, but yes.
So like he still has that sort of do-gooder aspect and thinking everyone could be saved, but he's a lot more active in doing stuff.
Yeah.
In going after doing what and trying to make a difference. Whereas right. I feel like on TV, Huey's sort of more of a standing still sort of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have read the first volume of it and it is brutal, the comic books. I do wonder if the next season's going to get a bit more into the history, because they're introducing Soldier Boy, played by Jensen Ackles, in the next season, which is, who was the original hero. So presumably that we're going to kind of look back a bit more, we might get a bit more background about it in that. So I'm intrigued to see where it's going. I'm perfectly happy with the TV series not exactly following the comic books, because sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they're different mediums and mm-hmm. there are things that you can get away with in a comic book that you really can't even on streaming services. There are certain things that you just can't do. And I think wouldn't be acceptable. So they've done a great job with the TV series. It's good in its own right, yeah. But the books are amazing as well.
And another interesting thing is just about the nature of Compound V.
Yes.
In the comics, they have a specially modified version that they can give to the boys.
Yes.
Which basically makes them super strong.
Yeah.
And, fairly resilient to damage. Not quite superheroes, but more than capable of fighting them in a one-on-one situation.
Mm. I wonder if that's going to get introduced at some point, because because, you know, we only, the whole V storyline didn't really kind of come to fruition until the end of season one. And they sort of did the same thing they did with Preacher, really. I mean, that season one of Preacher was...
Because
you got the same producers behind it. And season one of Preacher was almost a prequel to the first book. And you almost have the same sort of thing with this, isn't in that you did get introduced, but they remixed certain stuff and the Compound V thing didn't appear until much later.
Yeah, this is more they sort of, I can see things like volume three and volume two that make it into the first and second season. Yeah. So this nicked a few things and definitely cut down on the background information.
Yeah.
But if you like reading comics and you can deal with the sort of rather extreme nature of it, I would recommend grabbing the comics.
Yeah, they are definitely worth picking up. I mean, yes, they are even more extreme than the TV show, but yeah, I would definitely recommend those books. They're really good. I was to say, I read the first one. I've got to pick up the others, but I've read the first collective volume, though, which is really good.
So next up is Secret Society of Second Born Royals.
Right, the Disney Plus series.
Indeed. Well, it's a movie. So it's the first thing I've watched on Disney Plus, because I haven't checked out Mandalorian yet.
Jeez. So why not?
Because I like Star Wars, but I'm more interested in Force users, not that interested in Mandalorian stuff.
Brilliant.
I think I eventually get around to it, but I'll have to see. I can't say it's at the top of my to-be-watched pile.
Wow.
But it stars Peyton Elizabeth Lee from Andy Mack, which is a well-known Disney show.
Yeah.
Which got Skylar Ashton in it from the Pitch Perfect films. A very well-known Canadian actor, Greg Bick, who appears in lots of stuff. Most notably for me would be in Bitten, which is a Canadian series about werewolves, which starred Lara Vandervoort from Smallville. And also Elodie Young, who you might remember from Daredevil and The Defenders.
Yes.
So basically, it's a pretty simple premise. The idea is that every second-born royal, so the person who won't become king or queen, when they hit an unspecified teenage age, they develop a special superpower. And at that point, they are then inducted into this secret organization where they go around, they're trained, and then they go around dealing with threats against their various kingdoms. So that's what we did.
Awesome. Oh, I might have to go check that out.
So, yeah. So we follow Andy, who plays Princess Sam, and she's always been rebellious, not interested in being royal. At the beginning of it, we see her with her best friend staging an anti-royal street performance before the cops come to break it up. So it's just her learning about that and also about some things from her family's past.
Right.
Fun film. It really works. I hope it gets a sequel.
Yeah.
It's very well done. You just watch it through. It has some interesting things that happen in terms of plot development. It doesn't immediately go for love interest stuff. It just tells an engaging story.
Okay, cool. I'd seen the name of it. I hadn't really kind of looked into it at all. But yeah,
I saw it up on IMDb on the front trailer thing like 4 or 5 months ago, whenever it did before. I definitely want to see that. Looks like something that's going to justify me having paid a full year's worth of subscription to watch Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Oh, it's got Niles Finch in it as well, who plays one of the younger kids in This Is Us as well.
Uh-huh.
That's one I might go and check out then. It's on Disney Plus.
So. I think you should.
Yeah.
So something else I decided to watch. There's been much ado about Amazon's remake of Utopia.
Yes.
So the original is also on Amazon, so I watched that.
Have you watched the remake or have you just watched the original?
No, I just watched the original. I started from the original. Basically, the only person who I sort of immediately recognize from this is Nathan Stewart Jarrett, who you'd know from Misfits.
Yeah.
As it is, it's about a group of people on a forum all tied to this strange graphic novel, which is apparently written by this guy who then killed himself immediately afterwards. And we see immediately that there's some strange people who are trying to track down any remnants of this novel and killing anyone who gets in their way.
Yes.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty out there. It feels a bit like Umbrella Academy in that. Has that this is really wacky and nowhere near reality sort of feel to it.
Yes.
And then
on
the other half of the time is you see people like in their normal lives doing their normal things.
There's something a little bit sort of otherworldly about the British series, which it does lose in the American version. It's interesting. The reviews of the American version generally seems to have been hated in the UK and loved in the US.
Yeah.
I actually was okay with the American version. It is, I don't want to say dumbed down, but that it does lose some of the sparkle, some of the strangeness to it. There is its own sort of strangeness on the US version, but things like the cinematography isn't quite as stylized. It's lost some of that sort of sheen to it, you know, that kind of ethereal weirdness sheen to it. It's that's kind of gone a bit.
I feel like when you're going back to say 2012, especially British TV, especially we used to make stuff that was a lot more wacky then, whereas now I think everything's a little bit too paid by numbers, so it was always going to have suffer from that, keeping things on the rail and taking out the crazy stuff to it.
Yeah,
I mean, I just watched the pilot and that was fun and engaging. I feel like I probably would get through this and maybe check out the American one in a couple of months just to see how they compare, but I'm liking the show so far. It's pretty valid, pretty messed up, but interesting characters, so that's something I always need, realistic seeming people with real motivations. That's keeping me watching.
It's an interesting setup, and the setup is similar on both shows. It's not identical, but you know, they've updated it a bit for the American version, but the setup is basically the similar idea in that a group of people that have never really met in real life end up meeting over this comic book, and they are trying to acquire it, and you end up getting involved in this massive conspiracy. I mean, the basic premise is sort of the same, and the characterizations are somewhat similar on some of the characters, but they've also changed a number of them in the American version as well. I thought they did a reasonable job with the American version, and it was different enough for you to be able to enjoy both, I think. But there is obviously going to be a direct comparisons, and it was so beloved, and also the fact that it wasn't finished, the British version. So there is that as well. But, you know, I think it's certainly worth watching. The original is definitely worth watching. It's a weird, wonderful, interesting show that I hadn't realized they put that on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah, it just popped up. So, but,
Why not? You
know, I spent a lot of time combing through Amazon and Netflix trying to find something worth watching.
Yes.
And for the last one is, again, me scanning streaming services, desperately looking for entertainment. This one popped up quite quickly. It's called 3%.
Yes.
And it's a Brazilian production for Netflix. And as you might have guessed, it goes around sort of what seems to be not post-apocalyptic, that's the wrong word, but in a future not too far away, at the age of 20, the people in this area sent for a test. And the test, they will decide whether or not they can be taken to the place they call the offshore, which is apparently paradise, and nothing goes wrong, and you'll live the rest of your life in the lap of luxury and being productive.
Yes, Bex mentioned this a few weeks ago. She'd been watching it as well. And so the idea is you've got to get through this test, but you're not allowed to retake it, are you? You can only do it once.
So it's a pass or fail. You either get through it and go and get and move on to that new place, or you fail and go back, or perhaps you might not even make it back.
Yes.
And it's been going on for ages now. So it's like four or five seasons. But by the looks of it, they're very, very short seasons, because it's only like 33 episodes.
Okay. Yeah. It's four seasons. So, the fourth season was the final one, actually.
So, pretty quickly engaging. It reminds me of a lot of YA novels I used to read.
Right.
Which go around the same thing. Everything from like Hunger Games to a dozen other of that thing, which involved testing young people. And you learn sort of two things at the first episode, which is one, that the offshore has had their first ever murder as a result of people who have been campaigning against it, who of course they were bad terrorists, and managed to sneak somebody into the test and get through. And that there is someone infiltrating in the current crop of test takers, which we learn who that is in the first episode.
Right, okay.
And so it's just seeing what length that person will go to get in, and also to see what the test is really testing for, and what are the values of that society, I guess. So yeah, pretty engaging. I find this more immediately engaging than Dark, which I think I probably talked about on here the last time I was on, which I tried, and I've watched like four or five episodes of that, and then I just stopped because it's just so dark and dreary, whereas this feels like it's definitely more of a thriller.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. Subscribe on Netflix.
I will definitely have to check that out, because you know, both you and Bex have talked about it, and it looks like an interesting one to me. I've got other things to kind of get through at the moment, but that is one that I should go and look at. I have managed to finish off something the last couple of weeks. If you've listened to the last few shows, you know I've been working my way through Fear the Walking Dead, which I stopped at season two and sort of midway through season two, and I got a bit bored of it, and I went back and kind of forced myself through the rest of that season. As I mentioned to Matt last week, it's a weird situation when you get a show that improves dramatically when you kill off most of the original cast, which is fairly well publicized that that's what they actually did. And they brought in Morgan from The Walking Dead, and didn't kill off everybody.
It started with the family, didn't it?
Yeah, it started with the family. And most of that family are no longer around. And I mean, people die in the Walking Dead universe. That's just the way it is. But that was the lead family, and they don't don't survive past season four. But the show gets massively better at season four as well, because it introduces Morgan, and it's not just the introduction of Morgan, it's the introduction of a whole new cast of characters that are just better written, better defined. It has a new central premise, which is this group of people that Morgan brings together that are determined to go out and help people.
Oh.
They have a sort of mission. So it almost becomes the kind of A-Team, but in the Walking Dead universe in some respects, because it's this sort of group of people that have this network that they are trying to sort of set up and go out each week and help people. As a premise, it's nice because it has a central premise it can actually hang something on, rather than just be another bunch of survivors in a Walking Dead universe, which is sort of what it was originally. As Matt mentioned last week, the original premise was the fact that you were going to see those early days of what happened in the Walking Dead universe, and they kind of abandoned that fairly quickly, and it just became another bunch of people in a different part of the country doing the same thing as the main show. And it needed to be something more distinct than that. And by the time they got to season four and they came up with this new idea and this new bunch of people, much better defined characters, and it hugely, hugely improved, I think, at that point. I worked my way through all of season four and all of season five, really enjoyed the fifth season as well. So much so that when I finished season five, it popped up on Amazon that the sixth season was on there available to buy for like £20 for the whole season. So I thought, oh, stuff it. I'll just buy the sixth season then, because it is going out in the UK on AMC, and then it will come onto Amazon Prime eventually, but they're releasing the episodes next day on normal Amazon Video, and if you pay £20 you can buy them to get them next day. And I was really into it at that point, so I was kind of disappointed that it finished, and I saw the first episode of season six pop up and I was like, £20 for 16 episodes, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And really enjoyed the opening of season six as well, because that's sort of taken another slightly different direction as well. So they're doing a really nice job with that show. I really like the characters in it. I think it's very much different to the main show. I like what they're doing. So I will be watching that weekly as it goes out. So we're recording this on Monday, so there's a new episode, I think, dropping tonight. So we've got that and the YA Walking Dead thing, which is the World Beyond as well, which is fine. Could do with speeding up a little bit, but you know, I'm enjoying that enough as well. And of course Matt is covering both Fear, and I'm doing World Beyond with him on a podcast over on Entertainment Talk. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, you want to go and check those out, we're doing those over there. Outside of that, and sticking with sort of dystopian futures though, Brave New World as well, I've been watching that, which is on Sky over here. All the episodes are up on Sky, so I've actually finished that series. Interesting setup for that, and interesting where they take it. Just the basic premise is you have this place called New London where everybody is happy, and the way that they make everybody happy is they have this drug called Soma, which has different sort of strengths and levels and things, and it's a drug which makes people forget about their worries and just have a nice time and just be happy. Essentially, you can sort of balance out, you know, if you're feeling anxious you can just pop a pill and you're fine again, you know, it's that sort of thing. The other thing that they don't have is any form of privacy. There is no marriage, so everybody belongs to everybody else. Cue very large orgy scenes at various points in the show. It's that's the sort of this world of New London. On the opposite side of that, there is a place called the Savage Lands, which is presented something like a theme park. So people from New London, if they want to see what the world outside or the old world is like, they can go to this Savage Lands theme park, which is essentially rural America in a sort of dystopian world where they are kind of getting by growing their own food and stuff. But, you know, it's kind of what we'd consider normal cars and people kind of getting through life day to day just in a sort of normal world environment. environment, and they've got like a, you know, things like a House of Matrimony exhibit where you, they put on a play about people getting married, and like a jealous boyfriend turns up and wants to shoot the groom and stuff. So they put on performances for these people from New London and things. They're treated like performing monkeys, essentially, of you know, they see the savages as being having kind of no soul and have these weird customs and all this sort of thing. You end up with one of the so-called savages going back to New London, and it's the effect that not necessarily him arriving specifically has on the society, but it sort of, he starts to hold a mirror up to what their world is actually like. So it dives very much into the idea of, well, what is happiness and what does make you happy and how should you be living your life and is this the right way to do things? And there's a lot of sort of psychological stuff going on in there, which I really rather enjoyed. And there's sort of a mystery as to how New London is functioning and why New London functions in that way. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really like where they ended it. It sets up quite nicely for a potential second season, which I don't know whether it is getting or not yet, but hopefully that will come along. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought it was it's one worth checking out. If you've got Sky on Now TV, it's certainly one I would go and watch. The next thing, of course, that returned this week was Star Trek Discovery. That returned on Netflix for the first episode of season 3. You've watched this as well. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought an interesting start. I have to be honest, I was a bit disappointed that they've decided to split them up, in that we have Michael by herself unsure of the fate of her crew,
yeah,
and the ship. Unfortunately, they've also wildly circulated various promo shows that gives you an idea of exactly what happens, which you know, gives you a fairly decent timeline of when she's going to meet them again,
yeah,
which is a bit unfortunate. So I think one wasn't really great about that. I like the new character. It's quite interesting. It's quite engaging.
Yes.
It does get a bit weird, though, when they have their sort of high scene where you just sort of see the sort of almost reckless abandon which Michael starts killing people.
Yes.
Which is sort of like, you know, doesn't even bat an eyelid about it.
Yeah.
Which seems a little weird.
It's, much as I am enjoying it, and I am enjoying it, you know, and I thought it was great and it was fun, I can see some Star Trek fans looking at it and going, that's not Star Trek. And I'd be inclined to agree with them. Like you say, you know, shooting people with reckless abandon. I assume people are up to date on Discovery, but they end up in the future for reasons which I won't go into because they're horrifically complicated. But they end up in the future, and Discovery ends up in the future, and this is where we find them. The Federation isn't really around for, again, reasons. And just because the Federation isn't around, you wouldn't have thought she'd sort of abandon those ideals. And I know they were trying to kind of get out of that place, but yes, there was sort of a lot of shooting going on in that, and it felt closer to some of the more action-y stuff from the films than it did from any of the TV shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, whilst, as I say, I enjoyed it, I really did. You know, I love that series. It's not that Star Trek-y. I'm looking forward to things like more Picard and Strange New Worlds, which is supposed to have more of a sort of traditional Star Trek feel to it. I'm fine that Discovery exists as a thing, and I'm enjoying it, and I think it's an interesting addition to the whole canon. But I would like to see a bit more of, you know, I want to see something like Strange New Worlds as well, which is something which is more a traditional episodic type, visiting strange new worlds and traditional, what the Orville did so well, basically, you know. But I like where they're going with it. I think it's a shame that they didn't release the first two episodes together, because it is a two-part of that first one.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, if you actually look at the title, it is actually whatever it's called, part one. So I suspect the second part will be looking at it from the other side. I suspect the second part of it will be the Discovery side of things. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I rather suspect that's where they're going with it, and we'll meet them together. So I don't know why they didn't release them both at once, but I'm interested to see where it goes. And as you say, they have kind of spoilt a few things with some of the trailers and stuff they've put out if you can get some idea of the timeline from the trailers. But I'm looking forward to seeing more of it, and I'm glad to have it back. It's more Star Trek's always fine by me. So that's been good so far. Just lots of bit of its Star Trekiness, I think.
Did you ever watch the Short Treks?
I have watched some of the Short Treks.
I think it's Aldous Hodge and the ship. To me, that feels a lot more Star Trek-y. And the one where we meet the Queen.
Yes.
Now that's Star Trek, but it seems that sort of feel goes out the window when we get into the actual episodes. And I wonder how many people do actually watch the Treks.
The second season of the Short Treks haven't actually aired over here, I don't think. Nobody's picked them up.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. I just remember the first ones, which I quite liked. But I do say the same thing that you said there. It's not very Star Trek. It's something that a friend of my cousin, who's a real Star Trek fan, who's really into it. Honestly, I think the mere presence of Star Trek Discovery in the world angers him. He just feels it's sort of strayed so far away from what Star Trek is.
Yeah, and the earlier episodes, less so, but certainly where they are now, I do rather agree with them on that. You know, as I say, I am a fan of Star Trek. I have been for many, many years since I was a small child. But I'm okay with this existing in the universe as a thing. I just would like to see some of the more traditional stuff as well. But they are bringing that, you know, that is coming. So I'm okay with this, and I am enjoying it, and I love the characters, and I think it's funny, and I think it's well written, and there's some great stuff in there. But I want to see more actual Star Trek as well. So yeah, Strange New Worlds, I think, is the thing that I'm probably pinning my hopes on right now.
I look forward to more Picard.
And more Picard, yes. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news. TV and film news start off with renewals, cancellations and pickups. Only one cancellation this week, as far as I could see, and it's LA's Finest, which has been cancelled by the US network Spectrum after two seasons. I was interested to see what the reaction to this would be when I posted the cancellation news, and the general consensus was, I'm not surprised, it was rubbish. So I'm sure some people enjoyed it, but there was an awful lot more people saying, yeah, well, you know, whatever. That sounds like it might have been the right move.
I saw a couple episodes and yeah, it wasn't great. It was sort of derivative of every other buddy cop procedural.
Right.
I feel like with those two leads, they could have done so much more.
Yeah, because it was Jessica Alba and Gabriella Union, wasn't it, in the leads? And, you know, so they're both great actors, and then you would have thought there would be more from that. But so that's gone after two seasons. Renewals, Black Monday has been renewed for a third season, which is the Don Cheadle 80s comedy. That's a dark comedy that is being renewed for a third season. Star Trek Discovery, which we were just talking about, that's been renewed for a fourth season, and the production is starting in November. I mentioned to Matt last week that you might see this a bit. You might see things getting renewed and just getting made straight away if they're ready to go with scripts.
Yeah, because I was just about to say, it's okay, we can film, well, let's do it now.
Yeah.
You don't want to risk waiting and something horrible happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And that makes a lot of sense.
So they're going into production in November. That will be the next season of Star Trek Discovery. So I'm glad we know that's coming back. There were reports out there that Alex Kurtzman had basically said he had planning meetings with CBS taking Star Trek up to 2027. So they've got a lot more Star Trek coming up. We don't know what shows, and obviously things will move around and stuff, but they have a timeline idea of where things are going up to 2027. So the other thing that had been renewed, which I don't think has ever aired over here, but Tracy Morgan's The Last OG has been renewed for a full season by TBS as well. If you're listening in America and you've got that show, I don't think that's aired in the UK. In terms of pickups and advanced air dates and a few coronavirus updates as well, Mrs. Maisel season 4 is set to film in January, they've said. Amy Sherman-Palladino has also said that the pandemic may have them rethinking the end date, although she has said it won't end with season 4, most definitely won't end with season 4. She has said that shooting the season is going to be more of a challenge this year, and I think this year is going to tell us a lot about the show's future. Maisel was created as a certain kind of show. It's very big and outdoorsy. It needs space and energy. It's not a show that exists in a small pocket. So she's basically saying that filming this season, what they can and can't do this season, may dictate where they decide to end it, because they have an end point in mind for the show. So it could be that maybe they were originally planning 6 seasons and they will end it at 5. Don't know. But she has said that it won't end on the fourth season. I do love that series. It's brilliant. But at least the fourth season will be filming in January, which I'm looking forward to. The Gilded Age, which is HBO's period drama from Julian Fellowes, the man behind Downton Abbey, that had production paused for 2 days after two members tested positive for coronavirus. They are now back filming again. So I just thought that was interesting. You've had a few reports of things being shut down. The Little Mix thing for BBC was shut down for a bit as well, I think. So it sounds like the dramas are managing to get back to shooting fairly quickly. It's slightly more difficult if you're a live show, I guess. But so there's that. And Grey's Anatomy, The Good Doctor and The Resident have all confirmed that when they return, they're going to have coronavirus storylines, because, of course, they're all medical dramas. So they are acknowledging that the coronavirus exists. I don't know, what are your thoughts on this? Do you want shows, particularly these sort of things which are procedurals, do you want them to be referencing real world events like the coronavirus? Or Black Lives Matter is the other big thing as well, because they were saying Brooklyn Nine-Nine basically said they had scripts written and ended up throwing them all out to start again after that. And I mean, that's a comedy rather than, because after the protests, there were certain things that they felt they needed to approach in a different way. And a lot of the other cop shows, I think, are looking at what they're doing in similar ways as well. So, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. Would you want to see the real life reflected in it?
I don't know. I can see it makes sense for those medical dramas to deal with COVID stuff. I think without a doubt, we're going to have SVU deal with Black Lives Matter stuff.
Probably, yeah.
And there's a bit shy about approaching racial stuff, like shooting an unarmed black kid in a chase.
Mm.
So I think they'll probably deal with that. I don't think I necessarily want the non-medical deal with COVID, because that just seems unnecessary and distracting.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, in some cases it might help. I mean, if you've got something like 911 where it covers, fire and police and medical, if it's
a
show,
medical, so makes sense.
If it's a show like that, plus I think with some of them, actually, I mean, it's also an excuse to allow all the cast to wear masks on screen if you're setting in present day. It's a little more difficult if you're a period drama, of course, or something like that, but you can't really reference it then. But certainly if you're setting it in present day, it does sort of make a certain amount of sense, because it means that you can have everybody in masks on screen and it makes it safer to shoot. So there is a certain amount of that, I guess. But I don't know. It's because it's such a world event, I sort of feel like you do have to reference it to a certain point. Same with the cop dramas. I think you have to look at the Black Lives Matter stuff and certainly adjust some of your storylines possibly towards them as well. I don't necessarily think it needs to be over-dominating the entire run of the show, but I think you possibly need to take a look at it, what you're doing on the show, to make sure that you are covering it in the right way, I think. So we are going to get a bunch of coronavirus storylines, which, I mean, is not unexpected, but those three shows in particular have confirmed that they are definitely doing it. In terms of other things, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has finally got a release date in the UK. Season 7 will premiere on Friday the 13th of November on Disney Plus. We already knew E4 weren't going to be airing it, because they had said they hadn't picked it up, because Channel 4 are struggling financially right now, and I think that's probably the reason, because all their imports seem to have vanished on E4. So, I think that was part of the budgetary cut, because all the imports seem to have disappeared, which is why we're seeing them buy older shows. I mean, they have just announced today that they've picked up One Tree Hill and The West Wing to go on all four, and they've obviously, they bought Buffy and they bought Angel, because those sorts of things are popular shows, and there are going to be a big audience that hasn't seen them because they haven't been available necessarily on an open platform for a very long time. So they're using them to sort of pad things out, and they're going to be cheaper buy-ins than buying the bigger American imports like things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The 100, we don't know either way. They haven't actually said, but that's still not shown up yet, and I'm not holding my breath. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that these things are on their final season, but I suspect it's a monetary issue with Channel 4. We know that Channel 4 had to cut their budgets an awful lot. They cut like 300 million or something off their programming budget. They are trying to sort of work that back now, but that's delayed or stopped them picking up certain things. I think that appears to be the reason. But, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it is obviously an ABC show, which means it belongs to Disney, and they'd already got the other six seasons on Disney Plus, so they're now going to be airing the seventh exclusively on there. It may come to Amazon at some point afterwards, but at the moment it's going to be on there, and that's on the Friday the 13th of November. What's slightly annoying about that is they're releasing it weekly rather than dumping the whole thing as a box set. You can't like binge through it on a free trial. You'd have to wait until it was all dropped on there. So that's slightly sneaky of them. But I mean, I get it. They obviously want to have people sign up and use the service. So yeah, but they are releasing it weekly, which is, I think the first three episodes are going out and then everything else is going to be weekly. Netflix have released some first look images for Bridgerton, which is the first series from Shonda Rhimes' Shondaland since she signed exclusively with Netflix. And that's premiering on Christmas Day, apparently. So it's Shonda Rhimes does period drama, which looks like it could be quite interesting. And Shonda Rhimes, of course, the person behind things like Grey's Anatomy and Station 19 and How to Get Away with Murder and a whole bunch of other of those big American dramas. All her new stuff is coming out on Netflix. But yeah, she went for a period drama as the first thing, which I thought was an interesting kind of right turn for Shonda Rhimes. But, you know, there is some images out for that now. I'm sure that usually means there's a trailer coming soon. So that could be one to watch out for. Do you watch any of the Shondaland shows?
I used to watch Scandal. That was
my sort of the Shonda one.
Only one. And I stopped watching probably before the last season.
Right.
I think. Because it got a little bit too crazy.
Yes, as they tend to do, those shows. Max, as well, has now got a premiere date. You might remember Max. It was the show about a former boy band member that is trying to get his career back together to impress his ex-girlfriend, who is a supermodel. They aired one episode of it on E4, and then the pandemic hit and didn't really find an audience, so they pulled it off air again. I think it aired in America then. One of the streaming services bought it and aired it in America. And now they're now putting it back on Channel 4. So 29th of October at 10 p.m. That is arriving on Channel 4. They've picked that up to put back on here. The whole series will be available to stream and download for free on all four following the transmission of the first episode on Thursday, the 29th of October as well. So if you saw the first episode on E4 a while ago and liked it, you'll now be able to watch the rest of it. Blindspot has fifth and final season has got a premiere date as well. That's coming on the 28th of October on Sky Witness at 9 p.m. So keep an eye out for that. And a couple of other little bits of information. Ratched, which is the Netflix Ryan Murphy series based around One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, apparently had 48 million people watch that in the first 28 days, making it the largest original for the streaming service in 2020, which is, I mean, 48 million people. That's insane.
That is pretty crazy.
I still haven't actually gone around to watch it yet because I'm not massively into horror stuff, and I know there's a lot of horror things in there, so I haven't actually started watching it yet. But that's a ridiculous amount of and it's got great reviews as well, so clearly if you like that sort of thing, you definitely want to keep an eye out for. The other thing this week, the West Wing reunion, which has recently gone out in the US, we still haven't got a UK air date for it, but Richard Schiff, who played Toby on the series, did say to all the UK folk and others around the world, HBO Max have relayed to me that they are working on finding a way for you all to see this special. So it's a original cast of the West Wing getting back together to film. It's an episode from season 3, which was based around elections, and it's to promote the importance of voting and that sort of thing, because that was sort of the central theme of the episode. They did a sort of stage reunion of it with them reenacting it, and the only change that they made to the cast was obviously John Spencer, who died during the final season, who played Leo, obviously isn't involved, but they put Sterling K. Brown in instead from This Is Us and Mrs.
Okay,
Maisel.
That's cool.
So I thought that was quite a good bit of casting. I mean, you know, very obviously very very different person, but I think that's a really nice bit of casting. I can see why they picked him for the sort of, you know, because it needs a certain weight to that role. I'm really interested to see it because I think he's a really interesting stand-in for John Spencer for that. Don't know when or where that's going to air, but it sounds like they are working on something in terms of us being able to get it. Where that will come out, I don't know. In terms of other old shows returning again, Dexter apparently is coming back. They have ordered a 10-episode limited series of it. Dexter, as I'm sure you remember, starred Michael C. Hall as a blood splatter analyst who worked for the Miami Police Department, who also happens to moonlight as a serial killer. It was a great series, although had a questionable ending, I think is probably the nice way to put it.
I would describe it more as a questionable back half and a diabolical ending.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure. Went off the rails after Marita left. I love Dexter. I've read the books as well. Yeah. It was a great show that sort of came out of nowhere, really, and sort of fundamentally changed the nature of TV, really.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how many anti-heroes we have now on our Prime thing, and I think it's mostly down to him.
Yeah.
He moved us from everything being a detective procedural to that next step. I mean, now we have the son of a serial killer solving crimes in New York.
Yeah.
As a direct result of him. It's a great show, great cast, introduced us to Amy Garcia.
Yes.
Among others. Lots of great guest stars showed up in that show. You don't really realize until you have a look at IMDb and go, oh yeah, they were in there for like a couple of episodes as like a couple who got murdered by him and stuff. But yeah, I am not sure at all about this. Very uneasy.
I'm okay with it. It's the original showrunner, Clyde Phillips, who is coming back. Michael C. Hall obviously coming back as well as Dexter. The problem is getting out of where they ended, and they have specifically said that they're not undoing anything. We don't want to betray the audience by saying, whoops, it was all a dream, and the first 8 years happened in the first 8 years. So the ending, warning, I am going to spoil what happens in the end if you haven't watched Dexter yet. So for the next sort of minute or so, shut your ears off or jump forward. If you're trying to remember where the show ends, Dexter faked his death, was living in Oregon, working for a lumber company under a new name and identity. His girlfriend Hannah, which was Yvonne Stravinsky's character, Andy Young's son Harrison, had been sent to live in Argentina for safety. Hannah had seen a report of Dexter's death and the boat blowing up, where the, you know, which is how he faked his death. So assumed he's dead. One of the characters that won't be coming back is Deborah, presumably, unless they do it in flashback. Yep. Because Jennifer Carpenter was shot and killed by the serial killer Oliver Saxon in the final few episodes as well. So that would be a great shame, the fact that we're not having Deborah back, because Deborah was a fabulous, fabulous character.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably their biggest problem, is how do you bring it back? What they have said is, we want this not to be Dexter season 9. 10 years or however many years have passed by the time this will air, and the show will reflect that passage of time. So far as the ending of the show, this will have no resemblance to how the original finale ended. So although that's how we saw him, maybe he's integrated back in society somehow. Maybe he's in Argentina with the family. Maybe they're somewhere else entirely. Maybe they've, I mean, I don't know, but they seem to have come up with some sort of way of making a story work. The guy from Showtime did say, we would only revisit this unique character if we could find a creative take that was truly worth the brilliant original series. Well, I'm happy to report that Clive Phillips and Michael C. Hall have found it, and we can't wait to shoot it and show the world. So it's not just some sort of cash grab. It does seem to be people that do love the characters and do love the show, and whilst they are saying that they don't want to alter it, it is going to move things on, and it's not going to be him still chopping wood somewhere. I'm okay. I'd be interested to see. I can understand being nervous about it, but I'll be interested to see what they do with it, because it hopefully will give them an opportunity to, well, he says a great opportunity to write a second finale, because the first finale was not well received, I think it's fair to say. Apparently they're aiming for a fall 2021 air date for it on Showtime in the USA. If it's on Showtime in the USA, that should in theory fall under the Sky Atlantic deal, so it should be on Sky Atlantic over here probably around the same time, but we haven't had official confirmation of that, but it should come as part of that, so hopefully that's where it'll end up. But yeah, Dexter returning, I'm up for this. I'm up for them to sort of trying to create a better ending for it, and it's only 10 episodes, it's a limited series, it's not coming back for a full run, so that looks like it could be quite interesting. Moving on to what I would consider a part of your area of expertise, because it's a YA series, and that's very very much your sort of thing. So Emma Roberts is apparently producing a YA vampire series called First Kill at Netflix. It's based on a short story. The author herself of the original short story and who wrote the show describes it as Killing Eve meets Buffy. It follows a teenage vampire called Juliet who has come to a point where she needs to make her first kill and take her place amongst a powerful vampire family. In picking her target, she sets her sights on a new girl in town named Cannilope. However, much to Juliet's surprise, Cannilope is a vampire hunter from a family of celebrated slayers. Both find the other won't be so easy to kill and unfortunately way too easy to fall for. That's the setup for it. And it really does sound like Killing Eve meets Buffy, I mean, from that description. It's 8-episode series. They're 1 hour long. It's written and exec produced by Victoria Schwab, who is the person that wrote the original short story as well. It's going to have Felicia D. Henderson as exec producer, and he's also writing some episodes as well, who's previously worked on Fringe and Gossip Girl and The Punisher. She's also serving as showrunner. Emma Roberts is producing the series through Bellatrist Productions, which is their production company. Thoughts?
It's Calliope. That's the name of the vampire.
Calliope. Sorry. Right. Okay. So, I'll take your word for it.
I've read one of V. Schwab's books. I think it might have been another YA.
Yes.
Quite my style, but she is extremely popular. It seems like it could be interesting. I wonder about the fact that if it's a short story, I wonder about what they're going to do to elongate it. Netflix have a 50-50 sort of record on book to Netflix things at the moment, because I can remember October Faction died a death and a few others. Cursed doesn't seem to be coming back.
No,
so
certainly had no news.
I feel this is probably a better chance than those two if they get it right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think probably in the casting will help a lot as well, so we'll have to see.
Yes, the casting I think will be very crucial to it. I mean, the idea of Killing Eve meets Buffy, I think in that sort of setup, that really is what it sounds like. I mean, you know, the sort of vampire hunter thing, I quite like it. The other thing she's written are Vicious, the Shades of Grey series, and This Savage Song, apparently the other ones.
I read one which is about superpowers and I can't remember what that was about.
Okay.
Oh, that is Vicious. Yeah, oh, Vicious, okay. Is the one about superpowers.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested by this.
I'd like to watch it. I worry about whether or not, when you deal with Netflix, you have to worry constantly about whether or not it's going to get cancelled.
Well, yes, that is always a problem with Netflix, and most things don't last past 2 or 3 seasons anyway, so they might not have to stretch it out all that much. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting premise, and it's been a while since we've had, trying to think what the last vampire-y thing was. I mean, you've still got things like the original spin-off running in the US, which is never actually aired over here. I'm still surprised that's never been picked up over here, but there aren't that many vampire things around right now, although they were working on a reboot of Buffy, weren't they?
Yeah, that's
gone quiet.
So I guess the only thing going on right now would be Legacies, I guess.
Yes, Legacies.
I can't really think of anything else vampire related.
Well, unless you consider What We Do in the Shadows, but that's a very different beast. CW are still trying to get that Lost Boys thing off the ground, but
I remember that. Yeah,
so there are things floating around, but we'll have to wait and see. And the last one is another kind of YA thing, so should be up your street. It's Amazon have ordered I Know What You Did Last Summer TV series, apparently, which is an interesting area for Amazon to get involved in, because they don't do, I mean, they did Alex Rider, I guess, but they don't do that many YA things. Based on the original 1973 novel, along, I'm sure, with a certain amount of the 1997 film, which was also very loosely based on the book. Basic premise is the same, though. Group of teenagers cause a fatal accident driving home from being out partying. A year later, they get stalked by a mysterious killer who leaves a note saying, I know what you did last summer. And that's the setup for it. And it's the same setup that was used in the book and everything else. The series is coming from Sarah Goodman, who previously served as writer and exec producer on Gossip Girl, along with working on things like Preacher and Outsiders. It's from Sony Pictures Television. Can you see this working as a TV series? I mean, I guess because it's got that...
I could see it working, because we've had previous examples. It's like, I think Scream more than worked for a season. Yeah. Unfortunately, didn't go past that. But I think that was probably more than the fact that MTV has a lot of problems with scripted shows.
Yeah.
It could work. I can remember there was also another MTV show, was it Crush or something like that, where Victoria Justice,
right,
starring role, went well. So I think it's perfectly possible to convert a silly YA slasher show film into a TV show. It means you have a slightly larger cast to slice and dice.
Yeah.
And as long as you can keep people guessing and a reasonably engaging storyline, I think it works pretty well. Something like this isn't a million miles away from something like Outer Banks. I mean, it's only a slight change of a thriller. Obviously, there's much less murder going on in Outer Banks, but I think it's easy for the show to work. It's just a question of, as long as they make the characters likable enough.
The thing that came to mind for me, and bearing in mind I've never seen this show, I thought Pretty Little Liars, maybe, because it's a person with a secret that's, in this case, they're actually murdering them, but I did wonder whether there's
I think that's different. I think that makes a difference because there's a big suspension of disbelief that you have to keep pushing through on Pretty Little Liars just because the stakes are so low for most of the first few seasons because it is just about lies that just go on and go on and get bigger and bigger. Whereas obviously with, I know we did last summer, it is your friends get picked off one by one for something that they did.
Okay.
So that, I think that makes it work in a very different way.
Like I say, I mean, you know, they've done things like Scream before and this could be fun. It could be interesting.
Amazon seems to do pretty well with their order shows. I can't think of one that was just like, you looked at and went, oh, this is awful. So no reason to doubt them now.
No. So the only other YA thing I can think they've done recently was Alex Rider, and I thought they did a brilliant job with that. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was purely aimed at a teen audience or anything like that. You know, it felt like a really solidly written drama, that. So if I'm up for them having a go at this could be quite interesting. We don't know when it's going to land, but and we haven't got casting or anything like that in it, but I think this is what to watch out for, but they've ordered it anyway, so we will be getting a season of it at least. I mean, that will be coming to Amazon at some point in the not too distant future. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Next, we've got highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week on TV. The first thing we have is My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman, which is a great series, actually, if you've not seen it. That's 21st of October arrives on Netflix. It's basically just David Letterman chatting to a person for an hour. It's just really interesting because you get a lot of background that you might not get in other sort of formats where they're doing chat shows and stuff. He's really kind of focusing on that person and the work and their background. And he's had people like Obama on there and I think he had Tina Fey on there as well, and there's a whole swathe of different people. So it's a great interview series, but there's four in this third season. Kim Kardashian West is one of them, apparently. Robert Downey Jr. Ooh. Which I'm very interested to see. Dave Chappelle, who I adore, and I'd be very interested to see that. And Lizzo, who is a pop star, I think. I'm way too old.
She's a pop star.
I had to kind of look that up. I had to look that up because I had not. I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, but yes, so that's the other person. He's got those four on this. But if you've not seen any of those, it's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. It's with David Letterman. They're all on Netflix. The older ones are worth going back and watching because they are brilliant. Minority Report, the one and only season of that TV show, lands on Fox UK. That's on 21st of October at 9 p.m. based on the Tom Cruise film, but only lasted for one season. And so don't get overly attached to it.
And it was filmed in a weird order, so
beware.
They filmed the first part and then they filmed the last four episodes, so those episodes refer to things that never actually got filmed.
Just
be aware of that.
That's a little weird. Okay, there's that coming to Fox. It's one of their filler coronavirus programs, if you want to go get that. Then we have Billions returning finally on the 21st of October on Sky Atlantic at 9 p.m. I love that show. It's really good. Interesting, I saw a few people saying they couldn't get into it, but I just think that show's brilliant. So that's back for its fifth season. That's also been renewed for a sixth season as well, so we're very much looking forward to that. Siren back for its third and, as we know now, final season. The one and only premiere on Sci-Fi UK. That's on the 21st of October as well at 9 p.m. So that will be back for its third season if you want to go and see Vicious Mermaids. You, Me, Her, the fifth and final season of that coming on the 22nd of October to Netflix. Also on Netflix, we have The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, otherwise known as Season 2. That returns on the 22nd of October. And Supernatural, Season 15, returns randomly to 4 Music on the 23rd of October at 9 p.m. So to carry on My Wayward Son one last time. I'd be interested to see whether they're going to run this straight through or do their usual trick of sticking a massive gap in the middle of it. I hope they run it straight through. It's on Full Music for reasons. As I mentioned last week, I suspect that they were doing their usual drunk darts card game in the office and E4 lost to Full Music. I don't know why it's on Full Music. Full Music apparently is a standard def channel as well, not a high def channel, although it is going to be on all four as well, hopefully, I assume, in high def. So if you can't get Full Music, you can go and get it on all four, hopefully, and pick it up on there, and hopefully in high definition. But yeah, that's Supernatural Season 15. That's 23rd of October at 9 p.m. on 4 Music and on all four. Last Leg returns for its 20th season. That's on Channel 4 on the 23rd of October at 10 p.m. I love that series. 20s, Season 1 of that comes to BBC 3, which is a semi-autobiographical series which follows an aspiring young black lesbian writer and her friends as they pursue their dreams in Los Angeles. That's coming to BBC 3 on the 25th of October. That's called 20s. The Undoing, which has been trailered and bounced around. It was going to air in April and then they shifted it because of the pandemic and then it shifted again. And but that miniseries, which has got Nicole Kidman and comes from David E. Kelly and Hugh Grant. And that is coming to Sky Atlantic on the 26th of October at 2 a.m. And then it's got another showing at like 8, 10 or 9 p.m. as well in the evening. But that comes to Sky Atlantic and that's The Undoing. Family Guy Season 19 coming to ITV2, 26th of October at 9 p.m. Room 104 Season 3, that comes to Sky Comedy on the 27th of October. Don't have a time for that, but it's like 9 or 10 p.m. they're airing that. And that's everything from this week, unless you've got anything else you want to mention.
No, that's it. I'm sure that the last time I was on here, you mentioned Room 104.
Yes, well, they're running the season back to back, so that's probably why.
Oh, okay.
So they've been running them out back to back. That's so it's probably Season 2 I mentioned last time you were on.
Okay. So when that looks very familiar.
Yes. I think there are four seasons, and we were way, way behind on it, and I think there are four seasons of it before it got canned. So they're running them out back to back. If people want to chat and converse with you, where can they find you?
You can find me at AlmasyKnees, which is AlmasyKnees on Twitter, and that's probably the best place to get in touch with me to talk obscure Amazon Prime disaster films and Arrowverse stuff occasionally.
Yes.
You can obviously check out some of my articles over at HollywoodNewsSource.com and my latest interview, which is on the Hollywood News Source YouTube site, and that's where I talk with the British stars of CW's Pandora show, which is a sci-fi show.
Oh, cool.
Ben Radcliffe and Tegan Short, who play Raylan and Matter.
Nice.
You can check out Season 1 of Pandora over on Amazon Prime right now.
Excellent. Yes, so go check that out. For other people, of course, you can go find Bex, who is up on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's Bytes with an Y. She's streaming daily and also doing various evenings as well for lots of weird and geeky content over on there. Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org, go and check him out. We are doing the Walking Dead podcast over on there for World Beyond, and Matt is also covering Fear as well and a host of other stuff. So go and check out all the podcasts over there. For us, of course, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you've got to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk, leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.